Well, good morning. When I was with you last, a couple of weeks ago, before you had a great chance to be encouraged by a leader of our young adult ministry, Jay, and a leader of our student ministries, Braun, I mentioned to you, coming back from some time this summer when I wasn't the one who had the privilege of being a primary communicator to you this summer, that the Lord would just stir my heart as to what it was that I felt like would encourage the folks that I am so glad to share life with. And I expressed to you in the middle of August when we did that how I was a little uncomfortable with what I kind of felt like the Lord wanted me to have us talk about for a couple of weeks. It seemed simple to me, and it seemed like that was something that everybody was going to kind of go, yeah, thanks, Todd. God loves us. We know. Let's move on. But it turns out those 4 weeks that we just got through sharing together were some of the most meaningful weeks I think we've ever had together as a group. Well, I want to confess to you again, and I hope it has the exact same result, that what I know that I'm supposed to talk about with you this morning, I have an equal amount of discomfort with. And I hope it turns out to bless you as much. Now, there's a reason that I'm always a little uncomfortable with this. I want you to know, especially if you're some of the folks that Michael just specifically addressed, you know, if you're a guest here, if you're somebody who's processing who this God is that we've sung about for these last several minutes, we are always very mindful of you on this morning. We want to connect with you in a way that allows you to get a glimpse of God for who He really is. We don't want you to be impressed with us. Except that hopefully you're being encouraged by us might encourage you with the God that we say is transforming our lives. And that's why we try and greet you the way that we do outside. It's why we try and serve you the way we do when you come in. It's why we try and give you opportunities to connect when you're ready to connect. And we really believe that y'all are the most important folks that we have a chance to interact with week by week. But it's because you're so important that we so invest in those that are really yoked with us here, that are deeply connected to us here. Well, if this is the first time you've been to Watermark or first time you've engaged with a community of faith, folks that call themselves followers of God, followers of Christ, you may have been away from churches for a while or away from places like this or not going to places like this because you're sure that all we really want to do is manipulate you and guilt you into sharing with us some of the resources that you, through your hard work, have earned. And so you're just sure that all churches are about is getting in your pocketbook. And all they want to do is talk about their program and they're not concerned about you. That's why I am a little bit hesitant at times to talk like we're going to talk this morning. And yet, at the same time, we realize that when you know who God is and respond fully to who He is, that includes every area of your life, including to how you respond to opportunities to serve Him from a kingdom strategy. Now, what you don't know maybe about us is that we are 4 years old as a group of friends that have connected together. And during these last 4 years, we have met in some 18 to 20 different places. Really, though, we're not a nomadic church anymore. We are a church that, for a large percentage of the time, have been right here in this particular high school. And we are grateful for that. But we need to let you know, we don't believe that this is strategically and long-term where we ought to be, need to be, or should be. And so, almost from the very beginning, we have been looking as best we can at an opportunity that we might find a place to make our home, where we can further the impact in the lives of folks like you read in the Watermark News this morning and others, impact lives for eternity's sake. And a year ago this month, on this particular Sunday, we came and shared with you an opportunity that we had. After looking at over 20 different locations and evaluating a number of those, actually making offers on 4 or 5 that never even were responded to, we finally had an opportunity where we had secured the right to close on a certain piece of property. That piece of property, many of you know now, is through a great and exciting time that we shared together last year, 3 weeks from now, is ours to use as we would continue to see fit and provide for in the years ahead. It's 13 acres right there on the south side of LBJ, between basically Hillcrest and 75. And we're already using that property a lot. We'll talk about how we're using the 10-story building that's there. And we want to catch you up a little bit this morning. And we think continue to do a good job of communicating to you about the opportunity that is before us. Now, we're using a little phrase. It's called more than enough. And before we dive there, I want to let you know what is ahead for us, though, this fall. We have an exciting weekend next weekend where several hundred of us are going to go away as couples. And we're going to invest in folks that are married or folks that are engaged to be married. And we're going to be at a hotel here in town Friday night, all day Saturday together, go out on dates alone with our wives and spouses and enjoy Saturday night together. Some staying at that hotel, others going home after our kids are in bed to enjoy some time with them. And then we're going to close that conference with a time together here next Sunday morning. Now, you might say to yourself, well, wait a minute, I'm not married or engaged to be married, so you're saying that there's going to be a marriage conference that finishes here next Sunday morning. Well, in effect, yes. But I'm going to let you know what we're going to talk about next Sunday morning has relevance far beyond just covenant marriage relationships between a male and a female. And so I would highly encourage you to come be a part of that because I think it'll improve your quality of relationships that you're in. And then after that, we're going to start at the end of September a little series that is called CSI Asia Minor. That's right. CSI Asia Minor. That thing, that little show that's been out there a lot that says, you know, who are you? In that little theme song to CSI, which now there's CSI everywhere, basically, every night of the week, we know. But that's going to surprise you what we're going to look at for a number of weeks following that. And I guarantee you, as you go through this study with us, you will find out who you are and what God has for you like maybe you never have before. So that's what's coming ahead this fall, what we're excited about diving into together. But this morning, we want to talk about this opportunity that we have before us. There's a reason for that. And that is because a number of folks consistently ask us, how's it going? I mean, where are we at? Some of you probably remember way back at the very end of April, 1st of May, we got together one night. It was a Saturday night, as many of us could, in a facility here in town that another group of friends of ours are currently stewarding for the kingdom. And we talked about what it would be like for us to have our own place to minister effectively to people. Not because we need buildings to make disciples or we're about buildings. We're about calling all people to be fully devoted followers of Christ. But we believe that in order to call all people to be fully devoted followers of Christ in the strategic way that we are enabled to do, our own facility is a key part of that. Last September, there was a bit of a miracle that happened here. And when you look, frankly, over the course of the last year, what happened in this group of over 1,000 folks that are members and another 1,000 that are regular attenders, something happened that, frankly, we continue to hear from around the country folks saying, how in the world did that happen? And they want some magic and secret to how they might have a similar experience in their ability to raise capital for kingdom advancement and kingdom investment. Let me tell you what I mean. Let me share with you just what has happened in the last 12 months, going back to the end of last September. Most folks that are experts in looking at communities of faith and talking about what they're able to do together will tell you that if you, through creative communication and hard work and emphasizing through small groups and other ways to promote the opportunity before them, that you are able to, with pledges, to over 3 years get pledges that will come to basically two to three times your annual expenditure for ministry. In other words, if your ministry operates at about $1 million a year, through that kind of communication and asking people to make pledges over a period of time, that after several months of receiving pledges, you will probably have pledges for $2 to $3 million to be contributed to the church over the next 3 years. Well, Watermark operates on about $2 million did a year ago, about $2 million plus a year. And so had we done pledges, what they would have said is you guys probably could come around to pledges for over the next 3 years where you might be able to receive anywhere from $4 to maybe $6 million some odd over the next 3 years. Well, those of you that were here remember that we celebrated the fact that in 3 weeks last September, we came up with $8.5 million in cash, not in pledges, but in cash towards the acquisition of that property. Now that blows every measure and every standard that anybody would suggest that you could count on or rely on. But it was because I believe we have a core group of folks here that have a mindset towards kingdom advancement that see that though we are grateful for the opportunity that is before us, we realize there is a great stewardship that has been invested in us and a great opportunity that has been given to us to be strategically a group of folks that can make an impact in this community and world for Christ that we want to do everything we can to participate in. Now what we did once we acquired that property is we went through and began the design phase. I want to catch you up on a little of that because we realize that not everybody has seen this stuff. And I want to show you some of where we are today and catch you up with what has happened since May 1st and asking people to respond now to the opportunity to build on that site. Let me just walk you through a few images that we have. First of all, this is kind of the view of what you'll see when you're driving down LBJ. That is from west to east. That little 10-story glass building you see on what is your left is the current building that is there. Everything else is what will be developed on that site, Lord willing. Now, if you look at it from an aerial shot, you'll see, again, the tower now is on your right, and you'll see the auditorium that is there, what we'll call the town square, and what you'll see is some opportunities to minister to children in those two wings that are there, the younger children on your right, on your left, and the older children there on the older children at the top and the younger children at the bottom. Moving through, that gives you a little idea of how big that gathering area is. We realize that it's hard for folks to get here between services to connect and to gather and enjoy being with each other because we've got basically a first down out there. But what we're looking to, achieve together is something where you'll have that kind of space to fellowship and serve other folks. This is something, by the way, that we're not looking to use Sunday. This will be open all throughout the week. It'll be a gathering spot, places to sit in there and have coffee, maybe have sandwiches and just enjoy and meet folks there. Wireless internet access, a place for you to go and sit with friends and visit, meet with them and encourage them. Here's some views. If you were now walking from the current office building over to hopefully the building that we'll design, that's what it might look like. That's some of the architect's early renderings. As you move closer to it, this would be what it would look like in the town square when you get inside. If you look all the way through there to the back, you'll see some of their efforts at what the renderings would look like walking into the worship center. A little further, you'll see, looking back now out towards the office building, which you can see through the glass there, those are the kind of gathering spaces that will be available for folks to sit and meet and encourage and develop in relationships with friends. Now, throughout there, now these are some of the other things that they've recently done. Just to give you an idea of some of the open space. Don't get too hung up on the colors or the textures that you see there. That's really all a computer should do. Also, don't get too hung up on the fact that one girl with a purple top was in every picture in the exact same pose. We're not sure who she is, but she is committed to us. She's here everywhere. Another little view there. And then this is a pretty exciting little thing. What you see right there is, for those of us that were together, we went out to the Irving Bible, which is where we celebrate our first opportunity. There was a discovery center that was there as a part of this gathering place where folks could sit and moms during the week could come and let their kids play open all the time. As you enter into the town square on your right to where our older kids are, the On Your Mark area, you'll have what we are hoping will be not a Swiss Family Robinson treehouse, but something along that lines that will be a discovery zone type place for kids to come and enjoy, for you to bring friends in the neighborhood to play and enjoy and have something like that. Here's another shot of it. That's the inside of it. Slides going around, places for kids to hang out, places for some things to go on underneath. But that's what we're looking to have inside our town square as a place for folks to fellowship around throughout the week and kids to enjoy and also have some fun with on Sunday mornings as it's appropriate. Some other images that we want you to see and just give you an idea. This is what the worship space would generally look like. That's without seats. The colors are not set. That's just the general shape. Here's a view from overhead. There's a reason that it's the size that it is. We've talked to a number of consultants that have worked with churches around the world that have looked at our growth patterns, have looked at the strategic ministry that we're a part of and where we're headed. They have told us that given the site that we're on and the ministry that we have, to build anything smaller than 32 to 3,500 seats would not be good stewardship. We'd find ourselves in it and right away needing to do something else in order to, handle our ministry capacity. But that's a shot of what it would look like. There's a side view shot of what it would look like. You'll see there's two different levels to it, as you see it from the outside looking in. This is another computer-generated thing. Apparently, we had Up With People leading us in worship this particular week. But you get an idea of what it would look like when we have a chance and an opportunity to connect and encourage other folks in that specific room. All right, so there's some images just to catch you up with where we are and with what the architects have been working on as they get very close to design drawings that we can execute. Now, before we go forward, what we had said that we were not going to do in this particular opportunity before us is that we were not going to have a traditional capital campaign. We even said that we weren't going to talk about it very much because we felt like it would hurt our mission and our ministry to effectively reach and love those that we're serving in the community. Some of you guys, I know, you've got friends that are here today, and you're already thinking, why is this the Sunday my friend came and tell them this place is different and dag numb if we're not today talking about buildings? Well, I want to tell you, we're not talking about buildings today. What we're talking about today is what we want to build. And the reason we're talking about what we want to talk about today is because as leaders, it is compulsory that we communicate effectively and keep the main thing the main thing. Folks, let me tell you, we are not talking about buildings today. Buildings are a symptom of what we're talking about today. They are a fruit of the root of what we're talking about today. We're talking about building hearts and about calling all people to be fully devoted followers of Christ and one aspect of what that might look like. Now, I mentioned that last September we sat here and we didn't know what was going to go on those 3 weeks. And the way we went about that first opportunity to acquire that property, we went through a little system where we asked you to ask God, what could I do right now in this moment? Because we had 30 days to get that property or lose it to other interested buyers. And we didn't want to incur debt. And so we knew we had 30 days to come up with what we needed was another $5-some-odd million in cash to go with the two that we had to buy that piece of property. And then we got together on a Sunday night when the finance team came and told us early in the afternoon what had happened. And then we came in here, and those of us that were in that room, when we heard that God had stirred the hearts of His people to more than provide for the acquisition of that property, I want to tell you, it was really a moment that if you weren't here, you missed out on something where you just stood there shocked, chills went up your spine. Are you kidding me? Folks have responded in that way because they are as convinced as we are that this is what God would have us do as we move forward. And we rejoiced a lot, and we're humbled at the stewardship of trust that had been invested in this group of Christ followers to effectively use that resource. But I'll tell you what else happened during that time. A year ago, we had about 300 or 400 less members than we do right now. And of those some 800 that were members then, there was some sadness that filled our hearts while we rejoiced because there was only 80% of our membership. 54% of folks that were attending Watermark at the time that really shared in that joy. There was a 20% of our core members that did not respond during that 3 weeks in any way, and that really were not a part of what God did during that 3 weeks. There were some 50% of the folks that were here on a regular basis that didn't participate. And some of them were very much in process with whether or not God was somebody that they wanted to have a relationship with. And so it was totally appropriate that they didn't invest in a place that would help others have a relationship with Him. But there's a large percentage of others that for all practical purposes, considered this their home. And for reasons, none ultimately good, they hadn't decided to connect deeply here. And they didn't connect with us either in this opportunity. And they lost out on the joy of what was before them. And there was a sense of sadness for those, that at least on that phase of the stunning event, they couldn't say, I was a part of what the Lord did that we'll remember forever, and that will be a part of how I invested in eternity forever. Now, in May of this year, we talked about how we were going to go about what was a much bigger demand. To build a facility like that from the ground up is going to cost a lot of money. Just to give you an idea, there's a great church downtown that is just putting one little wing on their church that has some offices and gathering space. It's going to cost them $30 million just to do this one little wing. It doesn't affect their worship area, their children's area, none of that. We're doing everything for, you know, 10 to 15 to 20% more than that. We're not sure exactly the final number, but the final number ultimately doesn't matter as long as good stewardship and excellence and not doing things extravagantly but in a God-honoring way is the goal. And we're working effectively to get towards where we can build. Now, we said that we were not going to go about this in a way that traditionally churches go about this, which meant we were not going to target high-capacity folks. We didn't slot givers and how many we needed at each level. We weren't going to go towards folks that had shown us that they were resourced differently than maybe some others. Because frankly, that's information I don't know, and only a small group of people do, and we don't care to treat people differently based on how they've responded with their stewardship before Christ. We didn't want to go to a 3-year faith promise program. We didn't feel like that was the right way for us. And we didn't feel like it was the most honoring way for you. And we didn't want to hire an outside consultant. We didn't want to pay commission on the number of dollars we raised. We didn't want to use a thermometer that kind of manipulated you in an uncomfortable way, saying, come on, folks, fill it up. And we didn't want to use debt. And we still don't. Now, you have heard me say that we don't want to talk about this consistently because we believe it will hurt and affect our ministry. In other words, we don't want to, on a regular basis, come and talk about money towards that opportunity here. Because we want to be increasingly effective with our community, and we think that would hurt us. But when I said that, I never meant that we want to stop talking about vision, stop talking about kingdom responsibility and stewardship. We want to always talk about those things. And we want to talk about what ultimately it is that we want to build here, which is hearts that are fully devoted and responding to Him. Now, since May, there has been just under $3 million that has once again been given to the opportunity that we have to start to build on that piece of property. You'll see right here, and I'm going to run through some stats for you because some folks have asked, how's it going? And the reason we're talking about this today, listen to me on this. The reason we're talking about this today is not because we have less than 10% of the money that we need to really start even building over there. It's because of what you're about to see. It's because we want to begin to answer the question, how's it going, in a way that isn't ultimately tied to cash and tied to money. Because that's not ultimately what we're concerned about. Now watch this. Here's some other numbers behind these statistics. There's been 352 folks or giving units that have responded since May. That represents 538 people. So you can see there's just under 200 married couples that are involved there, or family units that have responded that way. Of that number, you can see that 60% were members. 60% of that 352 are members. 40% are folks that are regular attenders. Let me break that down even further for you and show you this. That 33% of the people that have participated more than once. That doesn't make our number go up. I'm just letting you know, of that 352 that have participated, there have been 33% of those, just over 100, that understand what we talked about in this process. That the timing, that the ask this time was not similar to last September, which was, look, we got 3 weeks, get together, put your heads together, ask God what He would like you to do, and bring as much as you can. 33% of the folks have understood since May that we weren't saying do as much as you can right now and then you're done, wait till everybody else does it, but on a regular basis, ask God, how should you stir my heart? Some folks, I think it's 19%, I'll go here. 33% of the total members and non-members attending Watermark have participated. I think we skipped over one that said 19% of folks are doing something on a weekly basis. But 33% of the total number of folks that are here, folks, over the course of a month, there's about 3,000 different folks that come through our time together on Sunday morning. We average about 2,000 people on Sunday morning, and we know over the course of a month that there's probably another third that are here, because we're not all here every weekend. About 400 of those are kids on any given week. But 33% of the total adult members and non-members have participated since May. Now watch this. But 28% of our membership, the core, the folks that have said, by the grace of God, I've been saved. By the grace of God, the scales have come off. By the grace of God, I found a community of faith that I'm going to go all in with to serve Christ and be encouraged by. And that concerns us. And when folks ask, how's it going? In fact, I'm stopped a lot of places, other leaders of ministries in this area, and I get calls from different places that aren't in this area, and they want to know, how's this one going? How's it going? And I go, well, you know, what do you mean? And they go, well, how, you know, where are y'all at? And I start to answer. They go, how much cash do you have? I go, you're asking the wrong question. Because at the end of the day, it's not about the number of dollars raised. Let me just say it to you this way. In the same way that there was a sense of loss last September when we raised $8.4 million in 3 weeks, that 20% of our core membership and 50% of those that were regularly attending, many of whom we know Christ, have missed out on that opportunity. There was a sense of, what did we not do to serve those people in a way that would allow them to at least tell us, you know what, I have done what God asked me to do, but that does not mean right now to support this. I don't feel like stewardship and wisdom would have me do this. And here's why. If there were three people, let's just say Ross Perot, Mark Cuban, my namesake, Todd Wagner. And by the way, I get calls all the time going, well, man, you know, I had no idea that you were that rich, you know, when the new Texas Monthly comes out or the whatever the deal, you know. My mother-in-law called my house one time because she saw Todd Wagner, who is, if you don't know, Mark Cuban's partner in broadcast.com. And she was so excited. She was at the grocery store and saw a feature article on Todd Wagner, one of the new billionaires. My mother-in-law, talking about being out of touch, went home. She goes, Alex, have you seen the new Texas Monthly? I haven't read it yet, but there's an article about Todd. No, there's not. It's not me. But if that Todd went here, if Mark went here, if Jerry Jones went here, if Ross Perot went here, and all of them wrote checks for $15 million, we had $60 million this week to do this, we would count that as a defeat if nobody else participated in the way that they should. Let me say that again. If there were four folks that wrote checks for $15 million, and that was all that happened, there might be four folks here that should do that. I don't know. But the point is, if that's all that happens, if all we do is get cash to build something that would develop something that could be impacting others for eternity, and that was all that happened, we would count that as loss, ultimately, because there would be 99.5% that missed out on the opportunity to respond as faithfully and as fully. And to do what it is that God would have them do so that they might receive just as much, and in some cases more, of a sense of God's affirmation and investment in their eternal account based on what they did in response to that. Now in June, we went through, and at the time 11% of the membership had responded. And there's reasons that we went through and we thought this is why potentially this had not happened. I want you to go through these with me again. I'll tell you what we did recently and why we're talking about this today. Number one, because there's still lack of clarity about the process. There's too much confusion about what we are to do. Now some of you, 28% of you or more, you know, are out there going, are you kidding me? Confusion? Weren't you there in Irving when we talked about this? If you weren't there in Irving, weren't you here Sunday morning when they gave you a DVD of that service? They gave us a sheet in here that explained the process. There's on the website an opportunity for you to look through those pictures that Todd showed this morning. And you're confused? They couldn't have been more clear about what they want us to do. They don't want us to just try and get a big pile together and write one check and stand back and watch like we did last September. They asked us to daily before the Lord to have Him stir our hearts day after day until there's more than enough. And then we're to stop bringing what we have and to celebrate what God has done. That's clear. So 28% of you think. But there's still 70% of our core that would say, I'm either disobedient and I'm not sure I'm ready to believe that, or they're just not sure what's going on yet. So we're going to make it clear again today. Secondly, because there's no sense of urgency, because there is no deadline. Some folks confessed, even in that room, they couldn't be more for us. But they have to say, you know what? I haven't done something yet because I haven't felt that sense of urgency. I didn't really think about the longer that I wait to make this a reality, the longer we have the opportunity to begin that impact that way with that facility, which will do nothing but increase the opportunity to capture souls for eternity and unleash and unlock some of the resources that are here gift-wise like we can't wait to see. And they kind of said, you know, I just got to confess I have not sensed that urgency in my own heart, and that's wrong. Thirdly, Maybe because we as leadership have been naive that people would watch a DVD to get the answers or information. That's one of the reasons there's confusion. You know, I started to think about that. If somebody gave me a DVD of Todd Wagner talking for 45 to 50 minutes about an opportunity to build something, or watch George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones on a Saturday night of my discretionary time, I'll probably wait and catch Todd some other time. All right? And so if that's been the primary means through which we're going to give people the opportunity to get that information, it's a little naive. Marketing via DVD has never been a proven effective for any product. Why would we think, because I'm such a compelling, good-looking speaker, that that would be any different? No surprise there on both accounts. But here's another reason. Because in 4 years, some folks are already comfortable. What I mean by that is some of you go out there and go, hey, this is already more than I've ever experienced in a body. This is already better than anything. My kids actually want to go. My kids asked me to go. I'm here because my kids, for the first time, are spiritually engaged with a youth group of any kind. I'm here because there's folks that love me. I'm here because of the creativity. I'm shocked every week what we do. And you want me to sacrifice to get something else? Man, if this is all there ever is, I'm in. I got it. I'm out of the icy waters. I'm in a lifeboat. This is better than I ever thought. I thought I was going to drown in some deadness the rest of my life. But now look at here. What do we want to ruin this for? In fact, if we go over there, more people will come. I don't know what it'll be like. And it won't feel the same way. And we've forgotten, and it's tied to this next one, because there's been a leak of vision. We've forgotten what this is about. We've said often in here, the most valuable people in this church, the most important, not valuable, the most important people in this church are the next 100 people that are going to come. The lost people matter to God. Folks trapped in dead churches. Liberal leadership. Lukewarm faith, cold, hopeless reality matter a ton to God. And it's not about us. And it's because those folks matter so much that we invest so much in you and of so many things that are built and designed specifically for you to make you all that God wants you to be, so that your salt might be saltier and your light might be brighter. And so you find all those things from folks like Michael Fleming, who wants to help you connect deeply in lives with others so your life can be in a soil that will produce a richness that it would never if you're in isolation. Have you locking arms with somebody else who will go through you in life and spur you on in your faith, equipping ministries, you know, and the way we do all this different stuff. You matter so much to God because you're the means through which He's going to reach the next folks. I mean, we know God, this sovereignty, is going to get it done, right? We all believe that, don't we? We're all convinced that God doesn't need us, but we also know Scripture says God chooses to use us. And so we ought to make ourselves fully available to Him and do everything we can to maximize our impact. And it's easy to forget that and to start to think it's about us and what's working for us already. And we got to remind ourselves what this deal is. This is our chance to spend it all for Him, folks. Not financially. Everything we got. Time, talent, treasure. We're not a church. You know that? We're a mission. We are a people that God says, you go in those icy waters of Dallas, Texas, and you stir hearts, you draw them to me, you love them, you communicate to them as creatively, as energetically, as passionately as you can, that somebody might know me because I love them, Todd. So you welcome them strongly out there, you care for them here, you rock their kids, and you serve them in every way you can so that they might know me. And there's another reason. Because there's this mindset out there that mine ain't going to matter. Are you kidding me, Todd? You're talking about, you know, a ton of cash? So much money that I can't even fathom it? And you want me to do what I can? Do you know what I could do? It's just an ignorantly small number. I want to let you know something. It's quite possible that your ignorantly small number might possibly be the most significant gift in God's eyes to this deal. It isn't about the amount. This is a fact. If I found out today that Ross Perot Jr., Jerry Jones, Mark Cuban, and my namesake, Todd Wagner, yeah, some of you guys need to know your pastor is not the billionaire, all right? My mother-in-law calls my wife a couple of months back, you know, when the other Todd Wagner is on Texas Monthly, and says, Alex, is this at the grocery store? I saw the Texas Monthly. I saw the article about Todd. I can't wait to read it, you know? And I had no idea he was that successful before he went in the ministry. It's exciting, you know? I'm like, this is my mother-in-law. I'm glad she has good views of me, but no, that's not my story. But if my namesake was here, if Cuban was here, You know, if Perot was here, if four people wrote checks for $15 million each, and we had $60 million to go strong at that sucker, I want to tell you something. We would count that as a loss if that was the only folks that participated. Because it's not about just building those buildings. It's about building the hearts of those that God has given us to walk through life with. And if we don't all do what God would have us do, I want to tell you something. Yours is going to matter. It matters eternally for you. It matters immensely for you. This is about your and my hearts. And listen, there might be some folks here that should write a check for $15 million. There might be somebody who should write a check for $40 million. I have no idea. But I know that what you're supposed to do matters immensely. And if that's the limited thinking, if that's why we're at 28%, if you're part of the 72% that hasn't come forward, you're missing out on an incredible opportunity to be everything that God created you and equipped and blessed you to be at this moment for His glory and your eternal good. Lastly, one of the reasons that maybe we're at 28% is because we have failed to facilitate your desire to respond as effectively as you want to respond. Partly through our miscommunication, our failure to keep it before you. Also because we haven't looked at you and talked with you honestly about some things. And I want to do that right now. I want to tell you about some things that are going to come up in the weeks that are ahead and how we're going to answer this question effectively and regularly right here on Sunday mornings. But I want to let you know first that there are three different kinds of folks. I'm going to use a word that I probably shouldn't use, and it's the idea that you know, there are three different groups of people that we are asking here, that all of us are daily before the Lord, asking Him to lead us any way He would please towards this strategic kingdom opportunity. And I'm going to use the word sacrificial, and I mean I'm going to use it, and I probably shouldn't, because let's just be really, really honest. It is probably impossible to live in Dallas, Texas, and given our global community, to really give sacrificially. I mean, yes, there are all different types of standards of living even in this room, but when you look at the global scale of community of folks, even the community of faith, we could give ourselves right down to the lowest economic level in Dallas, Texas, and probably would be awfully careful before we use the word sacrificial. That being said, I realize that God wants us to work hard where we are. And let me address those three groups of people. First, the folks that have to sacrifice individual pleasures. Now, we've talked about this group probably more than any other group. We've talked about some decisions folks have made to put mason jars in freezers and put coins in there as kids. We talked about kids who decided, you know, to not get a computer because they wanted to participate in this. We've talked about folks that are here from other nations training to serve their nation that have used and sold all their resources to come here to be equipped, that while they're here have joined our body, that were creative in the way that they decided to make a cookbook to share that they might have something to bring. And we have rightly honored these people. But this is an extremely small percentage of who's here. These are folks that literally have to say, you know what, I'm not going to order a pizza tonight. I can get five Totino's, you know, for $5 at Tom Thumb if I catch them when they're on sale, and I'll eat Totino's instead of Pizza Hut. These are folks that say, I'm not going to go to the movies. These are folks that are going to say, I'm not going to take certain trips. They're going to make hard decisions to deny themselves individual pleasures that they might participate at all in this thing. That is a very small percentage, and it's the percentage we've talked about the most in terms of honoring. And I want to let you know that I am not in any way insinuating that you are not extremely important in this process. In fact, you lead us in many ways. I want to be careful to say, even with that group, the word sacrifice is probably overstated. When we talk about not getting a pizza or not going to a movie, there are people around the world who would look at us and go, please, please. But we honor you as you sit before the Lord and are obedient to how He stirs your hearts. Here's the second group. Folks that have to sacrifice intentionally. What I mean by this, these are folks on structured income. These are people that you know, are living month to month with not a lot of discretionary ability. That need to sacrifice by saying, you know what? Something new has come before us. God has provided a new opportunity. One that we didn't know was going to come, but it's here right now, and therefore we need to look back at where we're at, and we need to rework our budget and put God back at the top and put Him up there twice. because we know we want to continue to honor God with the first of all our produce. But now, on top of keeping our ongoing work and keeping that motivated, we've got an opportunity here to invest that we didn't know was going to come. And it's come. And so what are we going to do so that we can be a part of that? And let's ourselves maybe vacation differently. Let's ourselves maybe not roll our cars quite as quickly. Let's ourselves maybe eat out a little less. What can we do as a family to reset our budget? And then if God blesses us in ways that we didn't think He'd bless us, what do we do with that extra income in order that we might invest with the opportunity while the opportunity is there until the command decree goes out that you can give no more to this at pick a time because there's more than enough? This might be a greater percentage of our body. It is a larger percentage that need to in this moment say, okay, Lord, this is how we've worked our budget. It's an amazingly small number of how many folks in this room operate off a budget, but if this is you, it's a chance for you to go, but now there's something new here, Lord, and I believe you want me involved in this. Or at least I know that you want me to consider if you want me involved in this. How would you stir me? Now I want to talk about the third group. And this group is no more important than the first two. But it's the one that I have done the worst job of addressing. And I'm going to make up for that right now. And so to my friends who love Jesus Christ, who are sold out to Him, whose lives have been touched by this mission, who read the Watermark News and see stories about men and women that are living in the context of rebellion, like Paul and Betsy, who left their spouses of 20 years, you know, get involved together, remarry, and then only because they're being pressured by their ex-spouses to not have as much time with the kids because they're not now involved with the community of faith, they start to think for their own selfish reasons to look for a community of faith that they can go to so they can have some access to their kids. And they stumble to a place like this, and for the first time their eyes are opened after 20 years of deadness in church. And their hearts are captured, and they're convicted by their sin. And in their brokenness, God transforms them. And they go back and ask for forgiveness from folks that they left according to their own indulgence of their flesh. And they don't, in keeping with scriptures, divorce each other and try and go back to their wife or their husband. They just say, we've got to own what we did, seek forgiveness where we can, and make the most of where we are today and let the grace of God reign in our life and serve and minister to people in the context of where we're at. And you want to be a part of that story. You want to be a part of the story like where I was a couple of weeks ago in lunch with a friend right over here. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden there's this presence next to me. And I look up, and there's this guy, about a 50-year-old guy, a strong man. He goes, Todd Wagner? And I go, yeah. He goes, I want to tell you something. I hate church. And I don't like Christianity one bit. But I cannot stop coming to Watermark. And I just want to thank you. And then he starts to walk away. And I kind of looked at the guy I was with him. What? You know, I jumped up. I go, what? Hey, whoa, whoa. We got to talk about that. What'd you just say? And the guy, you know, in a tender way, just said, I just want to thank you. And I could tell he wanted to, you know, leave. Because it was meaning something to him. And I said, man, let's get together. I want to talk to you about both those statements and how we can continue to serve you. I want to be a part of a place like that. It wasn't me he was thanking. It was you. It was this. It was your love when they pull in here. It was your love out there. It's your life that he keeps running into out in the community. He goes, tell me about your, you know, your life. And how God's changed you in the community of faith which spurs you in this way. And he sees it out there in you. And he feels it in here. And he's confronted with stuff here in a way that shatters his paradigms. And it's time for some of us to realize that we are stuck in a cycle of selfishness, self-indulgence, and blindness to the opportunity that is before us. And we have got to realize that it is never crazy to give up something that will not last for something that will impact eternity forever. And to start to invest deeply there. And what we need to sacrifice is that which is killing us, which is the idolatry of self. This mindset that I only give within what will give me some tax benefit. What will only work for me. You need to shatter those paradigms and just say, look, man, I don't know what I can do, but whatever I can do, I want to invest in this because these people matter and I see God's working here and I am going to invest deeply as I can. And some of those folks, what you need to just decide is that you're going to do it and then you get it done. And then you get it done again. And you keep sitting before the Lord until you can, with a clear conscience, stand before Him and say, I know I am where I need to be today with what God has given me. Because, folks, we are losing time. And there are eternities at risk. And I believe that. I trust you as ministers of the gospel. And I believe that God wants to see our opportunity to affect people increase. And it will increase as the strategic opportunities for it to increase are available to us. Now, here's what we're going to do going forward. Because I want to be able to answer the question with integrity, how's it going? And I don't want it to be tied to money. Every one of us is in all three, or one of those three categories of people. And so we're going to do this on a regular basis, be it weekly, monthly, every 8 weeks. It'll come to you on a regular basis as a member. And we'll ask you this first question. It'll say this: I have and am earnestly seeking the Lord as to how you would have me respond to His leadership as it relates to the current kingdom investment opportunity. You'll respond with a yes or a no. We'll generate a system to do this, whether it's through email or a letter or a response, and we will get that back. And on a regular basis, we will communicate that right here. And we will say, do you know that in this last 4 week period that we went from 28% of our folks earnestly seeking the Lord about what He would have them do to this? Do you know that last month 80% of us were available to Christ and did what He wanted them to do? Does this mean that all 80% were stirred to bring something? That's between you and the Lord. That's never mine to know. Unless I'm in life and community with you in a way that obligates me to spur you on a very personal way. In the way that I've got men doing that with me who have access to my stuff. But we want to know. I want to tell you that I am of the conviction that when we see that number at 100% for more than one or two times, I think we'll be shocked at how quickly we're breaking ground. I think we'll be numb with excitement at how quickly we're moving forward with that strategic kingdom opportunity. But we will talk about that here. From here on out, anytime you want to know how much money is there, that number's available to you. We have not meant to hide it from you to this point. We'll tell you where it is on the website. You can go and look. You can watch that $2.9 million go wherever it's going to go. I mean, it's only right. People in Moses' day, they would show up and they would see the temple progressing. They would see the mound getting bigger. And rightly and humanly, that would motivate them. Go, look what God's doing. I'm a part of this. It's unbelievable. We're in the desert and look how that's growing. It's unbelievable. We're just 2,000 people and look how that number's coming down. And so you can go look at that whenever you want. But when you ask me how it's going, I'm going to respond with that number. Because that's my job, to shepherd hearts. And I believe as we shepherd our hearts diligently before the Lord, we will also begin to stack some stones to serve God in. I really believe that. Now, when you get that question, you'll also get this one every time. I'd like to speak with leadership concerning this or my process. Because I'm confused about what God would have me do or how I even figure this out. We're going to get some resources into your hands for each of those three categories that might help you. Or you might say, I'm concerned about the way you guys are doing this. I think it's irresponsible, or I think it's manipulative. Let me just tell you this. Being strategic is not the same as being manipulative. Being manipulative is being deceitful for the purpose of advancing your own agenda. Being strategic is communicating truthfully in a compelling way in order to accomplish something that will serve a greater purpose. And we will be strategic. But we will not deceive you for our own cause. And that's why we want to talk straight to you this morning and say, look what is at stake. I had a friend yesterday call me and say, Todd, I got to tell you, this week I was shaving. And as I was shaving, I was watching something on the television, and I looked over, and I got a sick feeling in my stomach because I saw once again that in our pluralistic, postmodern, relativistic world, that our world thinks that eternity is too expensive. Now think about the idiocy of that statement. If it is true that there is more to life than living and dying, if there is eternity, then as Jesus said, and we would all agree, then nothing that would keep you from that is too crazy to invest to prepare for it. But He said, I was just brokenhearted at the scores of folks that I know in the world that I live in that has decided that eternity is too expensive. And so I don't want to come into a humble relationship with God and serve Him with all of my heart as He seeks my best interest and seeks to glorify Himself through me in a way that will bless me. And He said, and as soon as I had that thought, God pierced my heart and told me, and I believe that more than enough, referring to this opportunity, is the most strategic way that I can, as a part of this body, help our body of faith start to curtail that. Folks, I want to tell you something. This is not a normal community of faith. It just isn't. You are not people that are here to show up, sit up, pay up, and shut up. You are here because you want to live for something greater than yourself. You are folks that believe that if Jesus is God and Christ died for you, then no sacrifice is too great. And there are not enough community of faith like that in the world. And I believe God wants a city on a hill. And I don't think he wants it hidden, buried in some auditorium, in some high school, in some neighborhood. I think he wants more seats. I think he wants more of us actively involved in ministry. I think he wants more of our hearts being stirred fully to be devoted to him. And all I want you to do is listen to God and see if he tells you the same thing. That's how we'll measure how this thing is going. Father, I pray for my friends that we, with just a soberness at what is at stake, with a sense of awe at the privilege that is before us, a sense of humility at what you've given us to invest for you in our lives, in our giftedness, and in what we've been able to produce by our hard work or good fortune. That we can be a part of something, Lord, that we'll look back on from the landscape of eternity and just shake our heads at and go, unbelievable. That I let go of something that the second I experienced it or did it or bought it, it was gone forever. And I gave that up, or I gave up selfishness and security and storehouses so that I could have this forever and so that others could be here with me forever. Oh, Lord, the lunacy of not being stirred to move deeply at that. Father, I pray that friends that are here today that don't know you, that they would see how much they matter to you, that we would talk to each other lovingly like this. And Father, hear me say this. It is not my job. I know this. It is not my job ultimately to play the Holy Spirit in the lives of the membership of this church. It is their job to avail themselves to your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd speak clearly to them. I pray they would not quench or grieve your Spirit. I pray that your Spirit would stir them, and in security, they would say yes to that question that they have earnestly sought you and your leadership as it would apply to this kingdom opportunity, and that they would sleep well knowing that that was an incredible sacrifice, or it was just a sense of peace where they were. And that we would marvel together at our availability to you, and I believe marvel at the same time at the strategic ministry resource that you've then made available to us. All we want to do, Lord, is be worshipers, which presents you a life that is available as you would use it. All we have is yours. And so as we close our hour together, we say, here we come to worship with all of our lives.